This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who's about to take you on a journey of the best of the week in RHAP. I am Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the weekly Rehap Up, a project that we have been kicking around here for the last couple of weeks. I first mentioned it on a podcast back on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast a couple of weeks ago, where Frail Mary, Mary Krakowski, was the guest with Akiva and I. If you want to hear the whole origin story there, you can go back and listen to that podcast, The Airing of the Grievances. Something that I had been kicking around in my mind for a few months. I have to give the credit to Chappelle, who, back when we were talking through the ideas for Nothing But Netflix, said, you know, you should do a podcast where you talk about everything that was good from the last week. I said, that's impossible. That can't be done. But as time went on, I said, you know what? I said, once again, when is Chappelle ever wrong? And I came around to it and said, this is it. 2022, we're doing it. The best of the week, the weekly Rehap Up. Boy, we really struggled with naming this thing. That I asked people on Twitter the other day. We got some really great suggestions. People really wanted this to be the stew, where we were going to, like the soup, we were going to go through and like pull out the clips and everything. But the thing is, the thing about stew, that this is the best stuff of the week. A show called The Stew would be about the worst stuff of the week. We can't call the best of the week The Stew. I reserve the right to make a show that is like The Slop that I do for Big Brother about Survivor and call that The Stew. That would be The Stew. But this can't be The Stew. People gave us so many great suggestions. And Sesties Besties, people wanted. One person wanted. What's for happening? And I said, you know what? We don't have it yet. We don't have it yet. People said, you're overthinking it. It's the weekly Rehap Up. I reserve the right, if we get a better name, to rebrand. But for now, it's the weekly Rehap Up. And the evolution of this also is we do a best of the year clip show, and we really focus on like what were the funniest things that happened on RHAP over the course of the year. And I think that we were sort of really leaning heavily this week on trying to find, well, what were the funniest things that happened on the podcast this week on Rob Has a Podcast, on the reality TV Rehap Ups. And as we're getting closer to recording, I really started to feel like I want this podcast to be a podcast where you can listen to one podcast and get sort of like a peek in the window of all the different shows and get a little bit of a sense of what might be happening on the show. Not just a great line that the podcast host had, but this is a great way, I think, to feel like you're keeping up with the podcast. You know, I've heard from so many people over the years that I used to listen to everything. I used to listen to every podcast. And somehow, over the years, between the pandemic changing how much we're in the car, and then there being such an explosion of more podcasts where I find that I hear the same thing from a lot of people where I don't get to listen to as many podcasts. Also, you do so many more podcasts. I don't get to listen to everything, but I also get the sense that people want to feel like they're able to keep up. And that's what I think that this show hopefully will be, a chance for people to feel like that they're able to keep up with everything that's going on in a much more bite-sized fashion. So my goal on this is to keep the runtime tight, under an hour, if we can. We're not necessarily going to play a clip from every single show, and we're going to lean really heavily on you, the audience, to tell us every week what should be on the show. We have a form that you can go to, robhasawebsite.com/best of. You can fill out the form and tell us what should be in the weekly wrap up show. You could also on Twitter go to @RobHasAPodcast. And if you have any complaints or anything, any issues of things that you didn't like, you can always contact our producer, Sam Moore, RHAP, @RobHasAWebsite.com, because he is standing by and he is waiting to hear any sort of feedback that you have about the show. I'm very excited about this. I hope you are too. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I think for now, we are shooting for putting this out at the end of the week. I think that maybe when Survivor comes back, that might change up what, because the Survivor week is a little different than the other week. We'll figure it out. We're doing this. We're going to do it on the fly. Okay. We're going to figuring out, we're building the plane as we're in the air here on the weekly wrap up. And so I'm really excited to have you here and hope you come back again next week and share more of your favorite things that happen on RHAP over the next 7 days. But we're going to talk about some Survivor things. We've been doing some Survivor 41 interviews. We've had a couple go up in the past 7 days. And so I wanted to share with you one of the things that was the most requested thing that we got this week. We talked to Tiffany Seeley back, it was actually a couple of weeks ago, and we did a special deep dive with her. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis from the Why Blank Lost podcast joined us, and Tiffany had us rolling. There are easily 7 different clips from that podcast that we could play for you here, but I've heard from so many people, you need to have Tiffany on every podcast, that she killed on her podcast appearance. Hopefully we can do much more with her. I have a story that I want to share that she told on the podcast. This is Tiffany, how she learned that she was going to be cast on season 41 of Survivor. Yeah. Tiffany, I'd love to go back to the beginning of this process and like going out to season 41. Now, were you originally cast for season 41 in March of 2020 or were you added in between that version of season 41 and then the one that shot in 2021?
So pre-pandemic, I was at finals and with Voce and Erica. In fact, Erica and I were on treadmills next to each other, and she said that I was like super intense, shocker. But I remember being there. I was like, I'm going to show these people. I'm like running. I'm like lifting weight. I don't even lift weights. I was like, I got this, you know, totally bad form, but whatever. I was trying to be like a little scary because, you know, I'll talk to them, but I wasn't that scary. I was just intense. But it was me, Voce, and Erica, the only ones that I remember from my final. And I got a call and everything went really well. I made it all the way through finals. I got the call. 41 or 42, which one? Like, it was up to me to choose.
You got really? To pick?
What?
Yeah, they were like, can you do 41 or 42? I said, I'll do either or. So I was like a swing, either whichever one they needed me for, I would have done either or.
It is a new era.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Wait,
what's good for you? Are you...
Can you squeeze us in? Do you have time?
So, well, you know, you didn't know that I was super fancy like that. I was like, let me talk to my... secretary, I'll get back to you. Hold, please.
I have to check my calendar.
Yeah, let me check. Okay, I'll take you there. You know, you're so desperate to get on when you really want. It's such a crazy process, and it's just there's so much. There's so much paperwork, and so much that you don't know that you're getting yourself into. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so that was pre-pandemic, and then it was like we're not sure yet, 41 or 42, and they were a little hesitant on which season it was going to be. And then pandemic. Mm-hmm. And then the calls. All right, I think we're going in July. can you do 41 or are you better if we go to, are you better for 42? And this went on and on. And then I got the dreaded phone call in February after pandemic. I was going with my husband on our first trip after pandemic to Florida. And I got the phone call. I have good news and bad news.
Oh no.
Okay.
Which is like, I have bad news and a little less bad news, right? Mm. I was like, okay, what's the worst of the bad news? Well, you're off the cast. Great. So what's the good news? Because that sounds like bad news all around, right? And then it was, you're the first alternate. So if somebody drops, you're in.
Okay.
And And then it was like, what? So I went on my vacation all miserable, you know, laying out in Florida. I was like, this sucks, man. I was so pissed because you're so close, you know? Right. And then it's just, and it was such a long process for us. I mean, that was forever, right? So anyway, I get the phone call. That's done. It's Saturday night of their last testing for COVID on the Thursday in LA. And someone tests positive. And I get the phone call in the morning on Saturday.
Wow.
Stop it. That's what it was?
Yeah. And the reason I have it on video is my husband was out running. And I put the video up to tell him when he walked in the door like a lunatic. And what nobody knows, and I might have told this to Rob in one of our podcasts, is his first thought when he walked in, I'm like, are you on the phone? His first thought was, her phone is up. She caught me. What did I do? He was laughing.
That's new. That's new. I don't think I heard that.
Yeah. He wasn't even on the phone. He just got so nervous that I caught him doing something that he was like, I'm like, oh, so what did you do? You know, I'm thinking, but I didn't even care. Mm-hmm. I was like, whatever. I'm leaving for 50 days now. Bye. So that is why I had it on video. And so that was sent to Jesse and everybody. So that was pretty cool to have that moment. Really, it was a shock to me. I had no idea.
Yeah, I highly recommend you check out the whole podcast with Tiffany. We had a lot of fun that night, and she is just such a hilarious person and really great to get to talk to her. All right, we had another Survivor interview go up on RHAP this week. This time, we're going to listen in on the Purple Pants podcast. Of course, Bryce Isaiah has been doing some Survivor interviews. He spoke with Xander last week, and this week he got to talk with Shan along with Wendell and Jack Atkins on a Survivor News edition of the Purple Pants podcast. In the sort of like two-thirds of the way into the interview, they played a game with Shan. They did the word association game, and I was so impressed with just how fast Shan is on the answers. I feel like she's like reading off a script because she boom, 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 boom. Really interesting stuff. This is a great moment from the Shan Stan podcast episode of the Purple Pants podcast.
We decided we wanted to challenge you and play this game. It is a rapid fire game where I will say a name or a word or something to you, and I need you to say what comes to mind first. Okay. Then you get like
5 seconds.
You have to respond 5 seconds. Okay. Bryce said it 5 seconds.
And so, you hear the bell, 5 seconds is over. We got to go to the next word. So
now,
have you watched What Happens Live with Andy Cohen?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then, never mind. Never mind then. Okay.
What are you talking about?
Y'all did some word association in the post-game press, though, too. So you're practiced a little bit with this.
Okay, I get it. Thank you, Jack. That was helpful. Okay, yeah,
it's word association. That's what it's called. Yeah. Yes. But also, I must add that it was the three of us that made up this list, okay? It wasn't any one of us. You might be able to tell who made up some of these.
So after the game is over, we need for you to identify at least one word that you feel like Jack contributed, I contributed, or Wendell contributed.
You mean one question that you guys contributed?
So the word, like Wendell will say, like, yeah, but so I don't know if they'll be obvious or not.
All right, I'm ready.
First word, ready? First word.
Wait, Jack, BF, and start the timers or something. Okay. Shan, are you ready? Give me some.
Well, I'm nervous because this is dangerous, but I'm ready.
Oh, come on in. It's all right. Come on in.
Shan, you ready? Go.
Jeff Probst.
Cool.
Papaya.
King.
Celine Dion.
Oh, love her.
Kale.
Healthy.
Christian Mingle.
Whack.
Kanye.
Unbalanced.
Omarion.
COVID.
Judas.
Ricard.
Ooh. We're still in it. Woo. Woo. Okay. Hot girl summer.
Jan and Liana.
Ooh. Polygamy.
Terrible idea.
Marijuana. Weave.
Don't do it.
Ricard.
Complicated.
Money.
Tribal.
Bob Saget.
Tears.
Nipsey Hussle.
The King. Like
Deshaun.
Short-sighted.
Privilege.
Heather.
Davey.
So cute. Oh my God. Tears.
Erica.
Canadian Queen.
Joel Osteen.
Oh, theft.
Zaddy.
Bryce.
Grinder.
Also Bryce.
Lil Jon.
Shantham.
Won't die.
The Trade.
The Trade?
That's a term she don't know, Bryce.
Oh, no.
Cult. Liana.
Oh, baby sister.
Pig's feet.
Gross.
Jamaican food.
Bomb.
Social workers.
Healing.
Placenta.
Oh, vital, vital.
The Duke from Bridgerton.
Oh my God. Any Wednesday. Any
Tuesday, Monday, Thursday, Friday. Go ahead.
Any Wednesday.
Spanx.
Necessary.
Lil Kim.
Queen B.
Purple Pants Podcast.
The only podcast.
Constipation.
Like game killer. Like game killer.
Cerie Fields.
Queen.
Jack Atkins.
Young.
Homophobia.
Trash.
Dutch oven.
Yeah.
Destiny's Child. We're almost there, guys. Destiny's Child.
The Supremes. Oh my gosh.
Karens.
Cell phones.
Kyland.
Sexy. Oh my God.
Oh, say that again.
Ooh.
The Circle.
Bootleg game.
Enema.
Oh. Oh, they don't work.
They do if you use them right.
Oh.
Oh, LaMelo Ball.
Bryce's husband.
Patriots.
Trash.
Omicron.
Virus.
Dave Chappelle.
Tricky.
OnlyFans.
Only Shans.
Oh. Look at that. All right, we're done.
Wins. Individual immunity.
That's a great job by Shan there on the Purple Pants podcast with Bryce and Wendell and Jack. Definitely, you'll want to go back and check out the whole interview from this past week's Purple Pants podcast. I also had the chance to sit down with Shan this past week. We are going to bring you that interview coming up on this upcoming Monday this week. So I will also have an interview with Shan, which I thought was really, really interesting. And I hope you enjoy that one. All right. So that's the Survivor 41 of it all this week. But that's not the only Survivor news happening in the world. We're getting ready for another go round of Australian Survivor. And of course, our chief international Survivor correspondent, the world's biggest Survivor fan, Shannon Guss, is on the case once again, getting us ready for this all new season of Australian Survivor. It's blood versus water. And unless you've been living under a rock, you might know that, of course, the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, and her daughter are participating in Australian Survivor this season. So Shannon Guss had a podcast, everything you need to know about the new season of Australian Survivor, a great preview to get you ready for the season, which is coming, I believe, January 31st. Of course, we make it very easy for the patrons of Rob's podcast to get all the links to watch the international seasons of Survivor, just in case, if you know, you know. All right. But we're getting ready January 31st. And Shannon Guss was with Amy Chan to talk about a new idea for the theme song for Australian Survivor from the Everything You Need to Know About the New Season of Australian Survivor.
But like with the promo, I agree, like so epic. The music to me is such a big part of that. I've started like making a list in my head of like songs that I feel would work really well for their future. Like, you know, because they just like take old school songs and then make them really dramatic. And I thought that like for like a returning season, like I'm already like writing it in my head. Like came to Peter last night. I'm like, don't you think this would be like a really good song? Like Mamma Mia, right? For like a second chance season. And just like silent and then silence. And then just like dramatically like, I've been cheated by you since I don't know when. Like, and then like you're seeing like faces of old people. Then it'll be like, you know, go to the chorus and it's like, here I go again. Bam. Like, I know in my head I've like written this entire trailer. Because it's like the formula to me is like, it writes itself at this point, but it's epic and it's brilliant. And I don't think they've done Mamma Mia before. I don't know. Maybe it's in my head because they've done it. I don't think so. This is literally where I got to in my life where I'm like, put me on the marketing team. Not because they need someone to do it better, but I'm like, I have ideas. Because it's like so creative and so great. And we need the playlist. And genuinely, I'm writing them in my head right now. And singing them on podcasts. Like, can you tell I've been out of the podcasting game for a month and this is where my head is going?
I would actually love it if they would invest more marketing money into having more songs, because I think we probably just get Stand By Me now for the rest of the season. I would love to have, you know, different song for each, you know, for each couple reveal. That'd be great because they put so much effort into it. The, you know, the quality of the vocals and the orchestration, it's awesome.
It is really good. I mean, I like that they have one song. Like, you even remember now that they did, like, the Bee Gees last season and it was epic and, like, it's kind of just, like, connects everything. Like, for the future Second Chance season, the Mamma Mia song that I just debuted on this podcast, I think it would be amazing. So I think that, like, I just think it's epic. I agree that the frustration is obviously, I mean, I've accepted it at this point that we go digging for everything and we get the slow rollout. Obviously my preference would be just give me the cast, but if I'm going to get the slow rollout, I'm like, at least this is like really entertaining and epic. And we have no idea what we're going to get it and why. Like, we decided to do this podcast at this time randomly. And then last night I was like, oh great, they just announced two more people. I didn't know that was going to happen. Like, that's good for us. So like, there's like no rhyme or reason for me through anything. We're just like hoping to get that content and then they'll just drop it and we'll be like, thank you. And we can talk about it now. So I've accepted at this point that that's what the rollout is, and it like keeps me on my toes in ways I don't hugely enjoy.
Okay, there's going to be a lot more Survivor preview coverage coming from Shannon, getting you ready for Mamma Mia. Here I go again with another season of Australian Survivor coming up. That's going to be in our International Survivor podcast feed. Go to robiswebsite.com/globalfeed to subscribe. All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about The Amazing Race. This was the first week back after the 19-month hiatus, or should I say hiatus, about everything that was going on with the break they took for the pandemic. The teams came back. Okay, spoiler alert for this week's Amazing Race. If you don't want to hear about the Amazing Race this week, if you haven't had the chance to watch, this is your chance to bounce out now. You're going to want to skip ahead, what, like 4 minutes? 4 minutes. Okay, skip ahead 4 minutes on the timeline, because one of the teams that had been previously eliminated was coming back into the race, and they were not back in the race for super long. They were also my winner pick for the season. It was Michael and Mo. Jessica, Lise, and I had the chance to talk to Michael and Mo about the reasons why they went home, which were not seen in the episode. Here is Michael and Mo from The Amazing Race on The Amazing Race exit interview with myself and Jessica Lise.
What was the biggest contributor there? Because it seemed like you were right with the pack and then you weren't.
So the biggest contributor that they didn't show was we had to do an extra speed bump. So you'll see pictures out there surfacing going around where, you know, you see me next to a big bale of cabbage. And Mike was the cabbage. So Mike was in the cabbage. And we had to, I had to steer him with my voice and lead him to bales of hay and literally kind of dive out the way of the bale of hay before he knocked it over. And that was the next task we had to do. So, I mean, we would have been top four or five, even with the problems we had with the belt, if not for having to go to that. And what happened with that is, honestly, you know, we got lost going to that challenge. because it was just out the way of where everything else was. So that kind of put us behind. But, you know, that was probably the main thing that really slowed us up from, you know, probably, you know, still being on the race next week.
Yeah. So there was a speed bump for the teams, for you and Arun and Natalia over that. That is almost like if you ended up like last place on a non-elimination leg.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you see, which was funny, like, you know, we were right with them when that belt.
Yeah.
When that belt, when they finished, Mike really, you know, he's like, oh, and I was like, no, we got to finish, you know, but that we knew it was going to be between us two because we had to do that extra task. So that's where that emotion came from. Like, man, if we don't catch them, it's going to be hard to stay on the show this time.
And let me be the first to tell you, okay, that cabbage, it owned me. Okay.
What do you mean it owned you?
Listen, one thing I pride myself in is being super physically fit. You know, like I said, I'm a pro bodybuilder now, but this right here was one of the hardest things I ever had to do physically. Like, I've never been in a situation where something was literally throwing me around like a rag doll to the point where I had to figure out a strategy. I said, wait a minute, I can't stand up in here and try to run because I've flipped at least 4 or 5 times. I said, maybe I should try to push you on my knees. Like, it's cold outside. My socks and feet are soaking wet. I'm slipping all over the place and I keep pushing it. And then it's throwing me over here. Then throwing me over there. I said, okay, this can't be it. Mm-hmm. This cannot be it. There has to be a way to do this. So now this is when you have to really trust your partner's voice. And luckily I was able to listen to him pretty clear and, you know, just kind of like start going slow with it. That right there was not the speed thing. If you go too fast, it like literally it was going to be very, very, very bad. So
I'm just laughing. I'm thinking back. All you hear, like you hear Mike and he's like, oosh, oosh, oosh. I'm like, what? And the cabbage is just throwing them around. So like, I'm, you know, of course we're rushing. And so we're, you know, it's very intense times, but I'm laughing just watching this cabbage own, like, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, at one point in time, I just laid in the cabbage like this. I said, okay. All right. Let's regroup.
Right.
Get up. It's not all the time you get to hear the phrase, that cabbage owned me. But that was the case on this week's Amazing Race exit interview. That was also on video as well. If you have the chance, if you want to watch that one on our YouTube channel with myself and Jess, along with Michael and Mo, I think that makes these exit interviews a little easier sometimes, that you could tell which person in the pair is talking, which is always the biggest problem with the Amazing Race exit interviews when we're doing them just over the phone. But we also have an Amazing Race recap this week. Myself, Mike, and Jess broke down episode number 4, week 3 of the Amazing Race. And of course, we'll be back again this week with the recap of the next leg of the Amazing Race. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into some of the dating shows that I covered this week on RHAP. Too Hot to Handle came back. Joe Millionaire. Somehow we are still podcasting this show. We've got some fun clips to share with you right after this. This week, season 3 of Too Hot to Handle dropped on Netflix. And so what we decided to do, Kirsten McInnes, we kicked off season 3 coverage of Kirsten McInnes's wheelhouse, Hot Dummies on Islands. We actually just rebranded the Love Island, Temptation Island, all the shows. The podcast feed is now Hot Dummies on Islands. You can subscribe. robiswebsite.com/hotdummies for Too Hot to Handle season 3 as well. We invited Kirsten to come on with Chappelle and myself for a simulcast of Nothing But Netflix and the kickoff of season 3 of Too Hot to Handle. And there is a bit of a love, they call it a love square. There's actually three guys that are vying for the same woman over on Too Hot to Handle. And there is a young man named Patrick who hails from Hawaii, who thought that he had the cheat code to unlock Georgia on Too Hot to Handle. And he was going to serenade her with a guitar. Let's listen to that part from season 3, episode 2 of Too Hot to Handle. let's talk about the thing I was the most excited to talk about here in this episode.
Oh, okay. Oh yes. I know exactly where you're going. Yes, with this,
Chappelle knows mm-hmm. me too well. We have to talk about Patrick, the beautiful songbird.
He was freestyling.
Look, he had to make a big move. Stevan is getting too close. So he is going to throw Stevan off the scent and say he's not interested in Georgia. But if Stevan really wants to get Georgia going, he needs to go hit on Bo. And stupid Stevan is like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
Stevan's like, right. I would like
Chappelle,
to make
Chappelle said, I got to do the double reverse. You're right. This is going to work. Okay. So he goes to look for Bo. And while this distraction is going on, now Patrick is going to make his move. Chappelle, does Patrick come to Pleasure Island with the guitar, or is it like the circle that they have a prop closet where you can just go get this stuff out?
Mm-mm, this was his luxury item. Like, he brought the guitar. He was like, I'm not, it's in my contract. I cannot go on Pleasure Island without my guitar. I am the bard of Pleasure Island.
That's not what Patrick sounds like.
Well, that's how he looks with that stupid ass guitar on the beach.
Okay.
Because
he looks dumb as hell.
What is wrong with you, Patrick?
Okay.
Why are you like this? No, seriously, what are you doing?
All right. We're going to listen to some of Patrick's beautiful song. Okay. All right. Here's Patrick serenading the amazing Georgia.
Deep breaths, Patrick. Time to pluck her senseless.
Yeah. Easy. Also, narrator.
Come on.
His name, dear Georgia.
When I saw your face, I knew it was a big race to kiss you. You drive me crazy because I wish you're the one I was sleeping right next to me.
Wow. What is going on?
What is going on?
I treat you right every single night. I massage your feet.
You look so stunning in that dress, too.
Thanks.
Trying to make my balls blue?
First off, Chris, does Patrick know how to play the guitar?
I mean, a little bit. Like, he has, like, more than, like, no knowledge of it. Like, he's definitely learned some of the techniques. But, like, I wouldn't say he's, like, a musician by any stretch. I mean, here's the thing, though, Rob. Do you remember season one of Too Hot to Handle when Bryce played on the sad keyboard for all of the people?
Yeah.
Which is worse, because I'm having a hard time deciding.
No, this is not like some sort of like Adam Sandler, ironic, like I'm trying to be funny. Like, Chappelle, this is like a sincere song here.
He is serenading her. And I want to be clear that just because you can play the guitar, that does not mean you can sing. And I think I need to say that again for all the people in the back who have their guitar in their backseat right now, who are on their way to their gig that they should not be having. Just because you own the guitar and can play it does not mean you should be singing alongside it. Find a singer. If you are not the guy. You are not the guy. Patrick, it's not you. You are not the person to be singing. You can play the guitar. Fine. You do it fine. But do not sing anymore. But Patrick here has written a love song off the top of his head. And
yeah, don't say I he wrote anything. He didn't write
off the top of his head. He is freestyling a love song. And I want to be very clear, Rob, that no, this is in earnest, because this is a love song that he ends with the words, I love you.
Yeah.
To a woman he met less than 24 hours prior.
Yeah.
And she has not paid him any attention.
You want to hear the end? You want to hear the end of the song?
No.
I'm going to make any more moves on Georgia.
Because I wish I had you cuddling me.
Damn, that kid's sneaky.
And I love you.
Whoa. Did he just drop the L-bomb?
What in the Billy Garcia is going the hell on? You don't even know this woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't been
like you.
30 mm-hmm. hours, mm-hmm. and they've never spoken before.
Yeah. And not for anything, I don't think a song should have both the lyrics, I love you, and my balls are blue. I don't think that the same song
but it rhymes,
should contain
Rob.
Both.
They go together. It's a couplet.
The balls are a couplet.
I think pick a lane. Pick yeah. a lane, Patrick. What kind of song is this?
Like, it wasn't good, obviously. But if Patrick had taken, like, 10 minutes to actually write something, it maybe could have been better. Like, it wouldn't have been good, but, like, it would have been different. And to me, different could only be better in yeah. this situation.
He's different.
He could have left different. The entire thing intact. And I would have said, this is a person who makes poor choices, and he's not a great singer. And that would have been it. But the fact that you told this woman that you love her and you have not met her, you've seen her around, but you love her because you like her eyes. She mm-hmm. clearly does not want to be involved with you. She wants to be involved with literally anybody else. Like, yeah. there's like three other people in the running, and you're in dead last. Mm-hmm. And how? What would possess you to do that? And I get it. Everyone's attempted to break the rules by doing, like, the lust thing. Like, let me win you over with my lips and my double mm-hmm. D's, my Derricks and whatever. But
my
I love you. Yeah, Derricks and Dianas. But what would possess you to do this? Why would you go this mm-hmm. route? You have to know you're on television.
All right, that's a little bit from our coverage of Too Hot to Handle. Kirsten McInnes is going to take it from here. She's going to have a recap coming up, episodes 3, 4, 5, 6 coming up soon. Be on the lookout for that in the Hot Dummies on Islands feed or the reality TV wrap-ups feed for more Too Hot to Handle. Now, I am covering another dating show currently right now. If you haven't been catching them, I have been watching The Return of Joe Millionaire for Richer or Poorer on Fox on Thursday nights. If you're wondering why I'm doing this,
don't ask.
Yeah, it's a long story. Okay, Jenny and Autumn and I are having some fun. I'm not loving the show, but it's been fun podcasting with Jenny Autumn. On this week's episode, we had not one but two bizarre eliminations. One woman got so drunk that she left. She quit the show, and then another young woman. She turned out that she was so frustrated that one of these two Joe Millionaires, one of the Joe Millionaires was not paying her enough attention. She had a diabolical plan that she was going to make one of the Joe Millionaires, not even the really rich one, fall in love with her because there was a guy on the production that was really hot. And she was going to make her intentions known. However, she happens to be talking about what she will do to this man a little too close to Martin, the Joe Millionaire butler. And it does not go according to how Sarah Rose drew it up in this clip from the Joe Millionaire episode 3 recap. That there is one small flaw in her plan. Because yes. there is somebody, the narkiest narc of all time.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches. Like they say in my country.
Like they say in my country. This rat.
Yeah.
Martin the butler. He turned up his nose. Like he gave her the stink eye when he heard mm-hmm. that she was into Winston, the production guy.
And he wastes no time.
Beelines
out of there to find the guys.
I hated Martin so much for doing this. Hated him.
What
a weasel.
What? The betrayal.
Yes.
He's supposed to be like the keeper. You know what I mean?
Ultimate betrayal. Like,
this was a true like like bros before yo's or something, you know?
Yo's. Well,
I don't know. Can I say hoes on this podcast?
I think you can. But, yeah.
Okay. Well, I just felt like that's what Martin is flexing in this moment, where he's just like not this young trollop trying to like, you know, swindle these fine young blokes.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? I just felt like he, at that moment where his true loyalties were exposed here. And he said, you know, I'm with the guys, like these are my bros. And bye.
Guys meeting, because
there is somebody here who is not here for the right reasons.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes, somebody
is. That is... not copy, that doesn't have a copyright here for the wrong reasons?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess not. Somebody is here to F the S out of one of the production people.
Which, like, this, is this one-sided? Like, I felt like it was kind of being painted as like there's something going on between her and Winston, but like it's just her saying he's hot.
Yeah. Well.
So.
But they're like, oh my God, what's wrong? You need to tell us. We need to know. We need to know this information. Martin, what do you know? And he reveals
this particular lady was discussing that she had, shall we say, the hots for a gentleman.
And as they say in my country, the willies. he makes her randy.
Yes. As they say in my country, she wanted to Roger the feces right out of him.
not the feces. Oh, no. Oh, man.
Yeah, I just...
that she had, shall we say, the hots.
The hots. I mean, Martin is a gift. Let's just get in front of that first. But... bro, why are you taking this drama away from us? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, we want to watch this unfold.
What I'm guessing here is that Sarah Rose might have become unhinged on the set. And I think that they say, all right, time, we gotta pull the plug on this.
Yeah, this isn't gonna work out. And, you know, if you're going to start disrupting, like, what's happening behind the camera.
Right, like, she's probably being, like, already, like, Martin already had an issue with her from, remember last week when interrupted the ceremony? Yeah, so he already had a good hate into her.
Yeah, Martin is beefing Sarah Rose, like, straight up.
She's not taking this seriously.
This is a true rivalry of the season. Like, they thought that they were hoping that Kurt and Steven might like end up going for like the same women, and that it might be like dramatic. No. It's like, oh, I'm rich, like I'm gonna get this woman. No, they're getting along famously. Like, the true drama is like, who is Martin going to expose? Mm-hmm. Who is Martin beefing with? Because he holds all the power.
Yeah,
like he's not just holding bells and feather dusters. Mm-hmm. Like he's the puppet master of the season.
I don't know how much longer we're going to recap Joe Millionaire for richer, for poorer, but we're here now, and you know, get it while it's here. If you want to hear more of this sass coming from the Joe Millionaire recaps with Jenny Autumn. We had a debut of a new podcast this week. Matt Scott, of course, who every week talks about wrestling with Mari Forth on the Wrestling Wrap Up. He has a brand new podcast, and it's called Pod Friends, a podcast where he is talking to some of the different voices that you may hear on other shows on RHAP. And he's talking to them in ways that you may not have heard them talk before. And he kicked off the first episode of Pod Friends with somebody who may know a thing or two about talking to people behind the microphone. That is, of course, the host of The Taryn Show, Taryn Armstrong. Great way to kick off Pod Friends, which really highlights some of the great things about the community of Rob as a Podcast. And Matt got the chance to talk to Taryn, and Taryn talked to Matt about how his worldview is about how he wants to do what makes him happy. Let's listen in to Matt Scott talking with Taryn Armstrong on the premiere of Pod Friends.
But really just like do what makes you happy, because that's what made me happy at the time. The effort, the trying. I think that the most advice I could give you, and I apologize that I'm a little all over the place on this one, but the most advice I could probably give you is if you're not happy doing what you're doing, you should change it. You should change it so that there's some light at the end of the tunnel, some kind of thing that you are working towards, something that makes you happy, that makes you feel like you're on a path that is not just endlessly bleak, right? Whether that's a really small thing that you're able to do or a big thing that you're able to do, go for that. Go for whatever you think can make you happy in the future, or even in the present. Because if you don't, then it's going to be a lot harder to get unstuck.
It's a great interview with Taryn on the premiere of Pod Friends. Matt is going to be bringing you an episode of Pod Friends every week in between now and the start of Survivor 42. So be sure to check that out in our reality TV wrap-ups feed. And then, of course, we'll have a Pod Friends feed coming very soon as well. All right. Taryn was on the other end of the microphone when he was interviewing on the Taryn Show this week, another person that he has gotten to know very well over the years of podcasting. And it was Jacob Jones. And this was a little bit of a different side of Jacob Jones that we don't always get to see on the podcast. Jacob and Taryn got to talking about the way that Jacob and different male friends of his like to talk and what he's looking for in a relationship with his guy friends and how it can be a little bit of a difficult situation to navigate. And he and Taryn open up about a very great topic here on the latest episode of The Taryn Show.
I like to be kind. Like I'm a very like very like sweet person. Like I think I'm very tender. I'm very kind. I'm very sensitive. Not sensitive is not even a bad word. Like not a negative connotation, but I'm just all these different things that revolve around feelings. And I think I can take on people's feelings as well. And I want hopefully people to have the best feelings. And I like, you know, the crew that I ride with to be all bad bitches. And if I can make that come out of you, we're going to do it, baby. And so, yeah.
Well, that's great. And, you know, I think especially, you know, again, sort of going back to, you know, growing up and being a boy and, you know, having a father that maybe isn't there, in the presence at least. There's definitely, I think, a difficulty for men to be able to like build each other up in an emotional way without toxic masculinity coming in and trying to swipe it away, right?
I never have toxic masculinity with my guy friends, never. Mm-hmm. Just because I kind of like love that barrier to be down. Like all of like my best friends were like, I like say like, hey, I love you. It's just like, first of all, I love saying the word, I love you. Never say in a romantic context, but I love telling people that are around me, hey, I love you. And so it's just like those things that, because you know what I hate, Taryn? You know what I hate so much? When like, say you tell one of your friends, one of your guy friends, hey, love you. And they say, love you too, bro. Oh, that makes me want to rip off their esophagus, Taryn, because bro doesn't have to be there. You're saying it because this is an emotional word and you don't want to have like that. You don't want to be soft in that aspect. So you're going to put bro on it to add a much more harder exterior to it, but it's pointless. Just say, I love you too. And then that can be it. And it pisses me off every time you say like, oh, I love you to a guy, like one of your friends, and they say, oh, I love you too, bro. Don't call me bro, first off. And don't use bro. It's like, because in my mind, yeah, they may have a authentic and genuine, you know, response. Like, hey, I love you too. But for me, bro, it just has that underlining thing of I don't want this to be very soft. And so I'm going to try to get away from that by putting bro in there to mess it up. But no, I want the rawness. I want the softness. And I'm a very soft and, like cotton candy, just melting your mouth.
Well, I love you, Jacob.
I love you too, bro.
And if you want to hear that whole interview with Jacob Jones, check that out on the latest episode of The Tarrant Show. And if you want to hear more Jacob Jones, you could hear him every week on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap up with Maggie Morgan. This week, Maggie and Jacob were talking about the fashion choices of one of the Real Housewives, and Maggie thinks that she might have seen this look somewhere else. Here's Maggie and Jacob from this week on the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap up.
You pick the next.
I think next should be Yzma Chandelier, and we should be talking about Jen Shah.
Maggie, I'm dying.
I mean, it's one thing. Okay, like Cardi B wore this to the Grammys, I believe.
Did she?
Like Cardi B wore this dress before.
Wore this exact dress.
Yes, this exact dress. She wore this exact dress.
Let me pull this up.
I'm sorry. Like, she looks like Yzma from Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, dead set.
With a chandelier on the front of her. Like, Cardi is so fun and flirty and like wild and out there that if she's wearing it to like a music event,
she was presenting at the Grammys or somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But like Cardi is like wild and fun. And like, I suppose Jen Shah thinks of herself as wild and fun, but like, I think that she just looked like Yzma. I don't know what else.
It just didn't fit her. Like the hair, Cardi B had a very short, mm-hmm. It's the styling. Like Cardi B, she had a very like short cut. Jen Shah's hair is like, even if the hair was slicked back. It was just like, oh, let me just put the dress on and we can worry about the hair later. Like, no, and first off, hopefully, I don't think you got sponsored or it wasn't a partnership, wasn't a brand deal. If you were in the same dress as Cardi B and your mom just like, I'm not in nobody pockets but my own, but baby, like you should have went to the same place that Haley got her dress from, Pretty Little Things.
Stop it. Oh, be nice.
We digress.
You can catch Maggie and Jacob every week talking about the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And boy, they have got a great guest coming up because that they are going to be speaking to somebody that I got to speak to just in the last couple of weeks. Dr. Evie Jagoda is going to join the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City wrap up this Monday. So be sure to check out what Evie is thinking about this season of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we've got some news for you for people that are maybe considering shoveling snow this weekend. If you're over a certain age, you're not going to want to pick up that shovel until you hear what Danny Bryson has to say right after this. Over on News AF this week, as part of Danny Bryson's Bolt Hall, Danny's favorite stories of the week, he had a bonus story that he brought up about how if you are over the age of 45, you shouldn't be shoveling snow, which I happen to recall was a new favorite pastime of one of our mutual friends on this week's edition of News AF.
Stephen Fishback tweeted this week, I get deep soul pleasure shoveling the sidewalk in front of my house like the suburban dad I have become.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a suburban dad, then there is
something. Suburban dads buy snowblowers though, so they can talk about their snowblowers.
Eventually, but also making those crisp, clean lines on that sidewalk with a shovel.
Mm-hmm. Does look good.
Yeah. Does look nice.
Yeah. And you know who was a real badass? Remember that guy from Home Alone?
Yep. The salt trash can guy.
Then eventually at the end, those guys are going to kill Kevin McAllister. And then he comes in and whacks them both with a shovel.
What would he have done with a snowblower?
I mean, that guy changed the 90s. Could you imagine Home Alone ends with Kevin McAllister, like, grisly murdered in front of a young viewing audience?
That's the movie HBO would have made.
That changed a generation.
Yeah. Yeah, that really did. And it would have been, imagine how our lives would be different now.
Mm-hmm. And that guy was hella old.
Yeah, he was very old. Mm-hmm. But that's when those guys were in shape back then, the hard men of the 90s. You know, we don't have that anymore where it's like, oh, your shoulder feels like it's out of socket. Yeah. Well, just keep lifting till that pain goes away. Like,
I shovel every day and I've got shrapnel from Korea in my arms, both arms.
And he had a family that was like, Dad, will you spend time with us? He's like, no, I got to get out with the shovel because nobody else will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fought with his son about it.
He couldn't
see his granddaughter anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All because his first love was shoveling.
As the suburban dad that he is.
Yes. He's like, I'm the suburban dad.
He was a suburban grandpa.
I take great, great pleasure.
But when he was younger, he was a dad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm understanding is you guys are saying the shoveling drove his family away.
That was the wedge. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
The mountain of snow was a metaphor.
That was the underlying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We knew as viewers. That's why. But they didn't specifically.
And the salt was the salt in the wound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing this family across the street really was.
It represented the salt in the wound, but it also represented him being the salt of the earth.
You know, we've just pointed out another danger of shoveling. So it can give you a heart attack and it can drive your family away. So
if you fall too much for the sweet siren song of shoveling the snow.
Yeah.
So the deep soul pleasure it gives you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for more deep soul pleasure, check out News AF every week or join us live on a Tuesday. Tuesdays at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific for myself, Danny, and Tyson talking about everything that's going on each week. We have a brand new Rehap Up that we just launched last week. It's the Sports Rehap Up, and Grace Leader is talking about everything that's happening each week in the world of sports. And with all of the football going on, Grace was welcoming in, of course, Sasha Joseph and Jason Reed to talk about this past week of NFL football playoffs. And they were talking about the big story where Bart Scott had said that one of the things that Josh Allen could be doing, the quarterback of the Bills, to keep the ball, I guess he has an issue with keeping his toes warm and his extremities, was Bart Scott says that he needs to be taking Viagra. And so that made a lot of headlines. And so Grace and Jason and Sasha are talking about the strategies that NFL players, maybe other things that they could be trying to do to stay warm during football games on this week's Sports Rehap Up.
The Bills, after winning this game, looking really dominant, will play the Chiefs next weekend at the Chiefs. There are a lot of Buffalo Bills fans where I am. We do not have an NFL team up here in Canada, so a lot of people gravitated towards Buffalo. People drive down to Buffalo. It sort of feels like, I feel like the story of like they have the perfect week and then they go to the Chiefs and they lose next weekend feels like I can absolutely see that happening. I'd be very excited for a Bills run. I'm not like a Bills fan, exactly, but them having some success could be fun.
I'm definitely pulling for the Bills. I also have to wonder in this game if they were, had some performance enhancing drugs. Bart Scott, a former linebacker for both the Ravens and the Jets, has suggested that the Bills players use Viagra to increase their circulation in their body.
In this cold game?
Yeah, you guys didn't hear about this? Josh Allen was complaining about how cold his feet get. So Bart Scott on one of the ESPN shows, I suggested that they take Viagra before the game and insisted that all of him and his teammates had used to take Viagra to increase circulation in their body to help them, keep warm during the game.
Good 4 hours, apparently.
If the game lasts more than 4 hours, go see your doctor.
So Bart Scott tells that he has some advice for Josh Allen about his circulation. A rep for Viagra says that they do contain something here, sildenafil or whatever is activated, should only be used the approved indications and always under the supervision of a physician, says Viagra. So
is that a football in your pocket, or are you just happy to see it?
Good thing they have cups on, Jason, so it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Wow. And it says apparently Viagra can make a player fail a PED test. So that would be pretty embarrassing to get slapped with a suspension for taking Viagra. Interesting. I feel like there's other ways to keep warm. I mean, I'm Canadian. There are definitely other ways.
Hand warmers.
Yeah, but without any
neck warmers,
like, jackets. How do you stay warm?
Could you put on a jacket? Like, has anybody ever tried that?
Just
James Jones used to have a hoodie on under his jersey like back in the day. But I wonder if you just put on a full parka on over your jersey.
I mean, I just don't think you can move as well. I guess if you're O-line, I don't even think for D-line because you need to rush. So I think maybe
if you're a quarterback, you probably have puffy arms. You can't really. You
know, what if everybody has to agree that they're all going to wear jackets and then it's even playing field for
I would show up without a jacket. So I have more like versatility. And
well, you know, sometimes they have the like those people that the football players are like want to come across as hard. They're like, oh, yeah, this is, -2 degrees. I'm out here warming up without a shirt on. Like you have that in the pregame. Well, everybody's like, I'm out here with no shirt on at -2.
Listen, we got a lot of snow today up in Ontario. It's a huge, I think like everywhere in Ontario got between like 20 to 50 centimeters of snow. I did do a lot of shoveling today. I wore a very nice jacket. And by the end of that whole time, I was very hot. So, you know, maybe a jacket during a football game is actually, could be a bad idea. Well,
listen here, Grace. So here in Baltimore, we got some snow last night. Yeah. By the time I get up for work this morning, all gone. Thank you, global warming.
Well, here in the Bay Area, I think it's been like 50 or 60 degrees.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Okay, check out the sports wrap up. I'm sure we'll have more NFL playoff coverage there with Grace on this week's edition of the sports wrap up, which I think is coming Monday nights here on the reality TV wrap ups. Now, in that clip, you heard Jason Reed. Jason Reed is co-hosting the Married at First Sight podcast with Asia Welch. Brand new season started. I think they're about 3 weeks in, and they are talking about one of the couples this season. It's Katina and Olajuwon, and they went to go visit Katina's parents, and Katina's parents were very interesting new characters on the show. Let's listen in on Asia and Jason from this week's edition of the Married at First Sight wrap up.
We also got him talking to her mom. This was
a trip right here.
This was good. So she asked him his name. He's like, Olajuwon, and he has to help her pronounce it, right? And she's like, who came up with that?
This. You named your daughter Katina. Right. You cannot speak on this. Right. What the heck?
I was stunned. The first woman
who says that to anybody. Speak.
Yes. You say, like, just in general. That's an interesting name.
Right.
Not who came up with that.
You named your daughter Katina. Wow.
Oh, he's like, well, yeah, like my mom's Irish, my dad is Nigerian. So, like, that's what they came up with.
Do we ever get an explanation about where his parents are in all this?
We didn't. No, I still can remember his mom's face being blurred.
Yep.
So, and so he's like talking. He's like, yeah, like I have ADHD. And she's like, are you on med?
Oh my gosh.
She's like, what?
Mama don't play.
She at all. Was making me think that I was saying the wrong thing. And I'm sitting here just watching. I'm like, getting hot. I'm like, what is the, how was he not? This was a pressure cooker for sure. And he starts talking. He's doing the Olajuwon thing where I'm about to overcompensate and tell you everything that I plan to do, everything I'm doing currently. And it does this whole, like, they edited it so it was like, him talking all around her face. It's like 9 screens of him talking.
This is our second time lapse of Olajuwon talking to somebody in a row. 2 episodes in a row where he needs to be like edited as he's talking so much.
Yes, he enjoys talking. Like, that is a passion of his. And he's like, look, I'm gonna do everything I can to be the best I can for Katrina. His mom, Katina, her mom, Katina. He's like, oh, yeah, Katina. She's like, that's actually a pet peeve of mine.
After you and your daughter have spent all day mispronouncing this man's name.
Right. Oh, my God. I was floored. It wasn't good at all. And then she's like, and then she looks and she's like, oh, I think that's a rabbit.
She pulled you. What's over there trick?
Right. Oh, my gosh. I think I hear Katina calling my name. I forgot to iron my shirt.
I do think this was clever editing. Like, I don't think she just got up and left.
I would hope not, but I also wouldn't have thought that she would say who came up with that when she heard his name.
Mom is a trip for sure. I hope she pops up again during the season.
Oh, please. Please.
This is the friends and family season. Like, this is a great season for friends and family.
Yes, she is the supporting character that I need. I'm going to be begging for Katina to confide in her mom about something that happens because I need her commentary. I need her opinions and her thoughts because she's not going to hold it back. If Katina has any ounce of her mom in her, oh, we're in for a ride.
It's going to be fun.
We're in for a ride.
You can check out more Married at First Sight every week with Asia and Jason in the Married at First Sight wrap-up feed. Of course, very similar to Married at First Sight is one of my guilty pleasures, 90 Day Fiancé. I've come back to talk with Pooya Zambakili here every week during 90 Day Fiancé, before the 90 days. Pooya covers everything going on in the world of a 90 Day Fiancé, 52 weeks out of the year, but here in the Survivor offseason, I've jumped in with Pooya to talk about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. It's been a really, really wild season. And this past week, we were talking about one of the couples, Mike and Ximena. Mike is a guy who I think is in his early 30s. He's from Boston, I think, that he has gone to Colombia to meet up with Ximena, who is a 24-year-old woman who has a couple of kids of her own. And so she has some interesting backstories about some of her past love interests. And she tells Mike in this episode that one of her last boyfriends happened to be a hitman who has been out of the picture for a little while, but had previously told Ximena that he was going to murder her. And Mike did not know this information. This is also coming on the heels of Ximena telling Mike that she cannot have children. And Mike was getting ready to have a child with Ximena. He found out that as well here on this trip. And so Pooya and I were talking about on this latest wrap up of 90 Day Fiancé about what does Ximena have to tell Mike before Mike thinks about calling it quits on his new relationship with Ximena from 90 Day Fiancé wrap up with Pooya Zambakili.
So that being said, Rob, this is Mike. And what have we learned about Mike? Mike will roll with the punches, baby. He'll be there.
Is a man that does not have a lot of other options.
Yes. And he's put a lot, he has romanticized the idea of him and Ximena being forever for a long time. So I don't think there's anything that's going to slow him down here, but you can tell on his face that he is having a lot of struggle.
He's having a lot of struggle. So Pooya, this is my idea for like a new Joe Millionaire type prank show. Okay. So we have like a Mike who starts having this international relationship with a Ximena type. Okay. Mm-hmm. She comes to the country and then every day we come up with like the Joe Schmo show, like what is the next thing that we can tell him to see if he leaves? Like how far can we go until Mike finally says, you know what, check please, I'm out. Okay. By the way, I have to tell you that I am wanted by the FBI, and I am that we have to be on the lam here to in this relationship. Like, okay, all right. Well, I wasn't expecting that one. All right. That's something.
Okay. And for marketing purposes, we can name it Desperate Housemates.
Desperate Housemates. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. Season 3, episode 7 will be a banger. And how far do you think we could go with Mike Schmo?
Mike, outside of, the potential of him being held hostage, he'll be there. He is fine. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. He's not. That's why I think they're the strongest, because I think that no matter what is thrown his way, he seems like he's struggling with it, but it'll be fine. And the next time on, we hear that Mike Jimena makes it very clear, I'm not going to live as if I'm your mother. Like, that is not going to happen.
She's going to start giving him some roles.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, Mike, I'm part of, how I told you I was wanted? I'm still part of the crime syndicate. We are robbing a bank tomorrow. We need you to drive the getaway car. Are you cool with this?
I mean, I'll be there. It's done. Yeah. I'm good. I'm good behind the wheel. You got this.
I think that there is no bombshell Jimena can drop.
Based on what she's dropped already, I don't think there's anything else that's going to slow Mike down at all.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see, though.
Yeah.
I'm willing to be, proven wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah. Mike, I have something else to tell you. I've been catching up on 90 Day Fiance to get ready for our adventure together. And I have to tell you that I am a Jovi stan. Stan Jovi.
Listen, I could deal with the hitman, but I gotta draw the line somewhere. Okay, I'm out.
I would let him go to any strip club. Yara is too hard on him.
Oh my God!
Let the man live.
Let her do what she wants to do.
Even if you have not been following along all season, I think you can jump right into 90 Day Fiance and come hang out with Puya and I each week on our 90 Day Fiance recaps. Those drop on Monday nights. All right. So I got one more clip to share with you. This is one, if you're not a patron of Rob as a Podcast, this is just to show you a little bit of what goes on our patron podcast feed. The Patron 5 for 5, it was a wild episode. Nicole Cesternino was up here, the first lady of podcasting, and we were talking about a few different things. And I was trying to, I'm not a Wordle guy. I know a lot of people are really into it. Like, I've played it. It's fine. But I'm not a Wordle guy, but that Nicole, I think, has like no idea what it is. And I was trying to get her to check it out. She was not having it. This is a little bit of Nicole meets Wordle from this week's edition of the Patron 5 for 5. Tommy Guam, Nicole, do you Wordle?
No, I don't even know what it is. What is it?
Okay. It is a game
that
people play online that mm-hmm. they are trying to guess a five-letter word.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like I'd be interested in that.
You would hate it so much.
Yeah, not for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You want to play a Wordle?
No.
Yeah, let's hear you.
No, I don't.
You just got to put in a five-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me see if you could do it.
Sounds like this is going to be like 5 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
Okay, let's see. Play Wordle. And then you just tweet out your score to
everybody. I don't want anybody knowing my score. Okay.
All right, Nicole, give us a five-letter word.
No,
just a five-letter word.
I mean, I gotta think about it. Like, oh, what's five? No, I don't. This is too much pressure.
You can't think of a five-letter word.
No, I don't want to play this.
Just come.
I don't want to play.
Just say one five-letter word.
I don't want to play.
Why not?
I don't like
Everybody's doing it.
I don't do what everybody does.
Just one five-letter word.
I don't want to play this game.
Okay, you're lost. Okay. No Wordle. Sorry,
Tommy.
Don't
want to play.
Sorry, Tommy.
So are you playing the game?
Oh, the E is in the right spot. And so the R and the S.
Mm.
The R and the S are in the word, but it's not.
What word?
Stop
the
it.
Word that ends with the letter E.
I don't want to play this game.
What about share? S.
I'm going to leave.
H A R.
This is so stupid.
Oh, I got four of the letters right. Oh, sure. S H O R E. Nicole. You know, I don't play this, but I'm very good at it. No, what?
No, you're not. You sure. got it wrong. You stupid
it wasn't sure. What is it? S-H-E-R-E? Shire? Like Frodo?
All right, can we move on? This is not good for podcasting.
I think it's fine.
It's not. Turn this off.
Yes. Shire. Shire is the word. Come on. Stop so it. Stupid. I mean, you have to admit, Shire, come on. You're better than this Wordle, all right? Come on. That if you want to win over Nicole, come on, you get out of here with words like Shire on Wordle. Okay. All right. So that's it. That was the best of the week, the weekly wrap up. I want to remind you, robswebsite.com/best of, that's the link. When you hear something that you think should be in next week's show, shoot us a message and let us know. robswebsite.com/best of or @robsapodcast on Twitter. I love the back and forth. I want to hear what you think should be in the future episodes. Totally open to, evolving this thing as we go. I love when I hear from the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. I feel like that's at the heart of everything we do at RHAP. It has been for 12 years and it is now. So I love getting to hear from the people that are out there listening to the podcast. It makes it so much more fun when I feel like that this is a back and forth with the audience. So please, let me know what you're thinking about this entire project. I had a lot of fun going through all of these clips with you. I hope that you did too. And I hope that this is something that you're going to be looking forward to try to be able to get a little bit of a peek into all the different things that we're doing here on Rob Has a Podcast. And if you like what I'm saying about RHAP, why not become a patron and get even more Rob Has a Podcast? We're going to be doing our Patron Mafia game this weekend on Friday night with Jordan Kalish. And of course, that's always hosted by Puya Zambakili. And of course, a lot more patron stuff coming up, including patron orientation coming up this Tuesday night. We'll be back with our monthly patron cast 1 week after that. So check that all out at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for listening to the premiere of the Weekly Wrap Up. And we'll be back next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.